Thank you, Sarah. Now to our final batch of stories on this part of Chatterbox, which include an investment at our hospital's A&E department, and the Norwich Food and Drink Festival had it all. But first, reassurances offered over City Tower block safety.
As the death toll continues to rise following London's tragic Grenfell Tower blaze, families living in Norwich's apartment blocks are seeking answers on how safe their own homes are. From the cladding used on the exterior of Westlegate Tower to questions about fire drills and fire extinguishers at Normandy Tower, the issue of fire safety is at the forefront of householders' minds. Norwich City Council, which runs 8 of the city's tower blocks, says the fire service carries out full fire risk assessments for each tower block. Safety checks are conducted every 3 to 4 months, and an on-site caretaker also patrols daily.
Celebrations in support of the region's armed forces have started in Norfolk. Armed Forces Day is held on the last Saturday in June each year to celebrate the sacrifices our service personnel have made over the years, as well as the work they do today. But commemorations have already started in the county. A civic party proceeded from the main entrance of City Hall to take up their positions outside the Lord Mayor's balcony. The Lord Mayor of Norwich, Councillor David Fullman, made a short speech at the start of the ceremony. He said, "We come together to celebrate our armed forces. Public respect is important, and they should wear their uniform with pride. Let us honour our armed forces, past, present and future." RAF Padre Chrissy Lacey read out a prayer saying, "We're here to remember those who gave their lives for our peace."
Norwich in Bloom has been creating a vibrant space for city workers by helping to transform the roof of a business block. Norwich Accountancy Services have benefited from flowers grown for Norwich in Bloom by students at City College Norwich by planting them in their rooftop garden. The new garden is used by staff and guests to relax during lunchtimes. Terry Bain from Norwich in Bloom said, "This year, the plants grown by the students have added a great splash of colour and diversity to the rooftop in the heart of Norwich. It's good to see a grey space made colourful and put to good use." Barrier basket displays have also been put up around the city on Farmers Avenue and Golden Ball Street, which are sponsored by the Norwich Accountancy Services. This year's baskets have been created using an array of bedding and specimen plants, adding a splash of colour to the city centre.
From gin and orange sausages to some of the spiciest chicken wings in Norfolk, this year's Norwich Food and Drink Festival had it all. The annual event, which is now in its 14th year, saw more than 7,000 people sample some of the finest local produce on offer over the weekend. And the organisers said that this year's festival was its biggest yet, with 45 stalls and 7 street food vendors lined up outside the Forum and City Hall. As well as having the chance to taste a variety of delicious food and drink, people could watch cookery demonstrations and take part in competitions. One of the biggest attractions of the day was a hot wings challenge organised by Wolf and Bird. 12 competitors had to endure 6 rounds of increasingly spicy chicken wings, with the winners being presented with a T-shirt and a bar tab. The Battle of the Bangers also proved to be popular with visitors. It saw 8 of Norfolk's top butchers hand out free samples of their sausages to people who then had to vote for a winner. Other entertainment during the day included cookery demonstrations from various local chefs, as well as Great British Bake Off 2016 contestant Kate Barmby. There was also live music and a pop-up festival bar outside the Forum by Southwold-based brewery Adnams.
A teenager was lucky to escape without injury after a car swerved onto the path he was walking along before 2 men got out of the vehicle and tried to rob him. The victim, a man in his late teens, was walking along Plumstead Road East in Norwich when a silver Vauxhall Astra pulled across his path. 2 men then got out of the vehicle and approached the victim. The men demanded money and tried to assault him before making off. However, he did not sustain any injuries.
The Norfolk and Norwich University Hospital, NNUH, has received nearly £1 million in funding aimed at easing pressure on emergency departments. The £998,900 funding will be used to join up the entrances for the Urgent Care Centre, UCC, and the Emergency Department, ED, to create a new single point of entry for patients. Development of the site will see an increase in the number of UCC consulting rooms, an expansion of paediatric emergency department facilities, as well as expanded waiting and toilet facilities. The UCC operates as part of the ED, and over the past 12 months has built a GP workforce with a GP clinical lead sourced from local primary care. Expanding the workforce with dedicated in-house trained advanced care practitioners is planned for the coming year. The existing UCC sees an average of 40 patients each day and treats patients with minor illnesses that require urgent medical attention but are not immediately life-threatening. The new space will provide clear separation of adults and paediatrics on arrival and will join both parts of the ED with covered inside walkways. The adult side will lead directly to the GP streaming area and three additional consulting rooms plus additional ancillary accommodation will be provided. The £998,900 allocated to NNUH is part of the £20.74 million awarded to 27 hospitals across England. The funding, which was announced by Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt, will also support wider plans set out by the NHS England to improve A&E performance in England by 2018. In particular, it will help hospitals hit the quality target of admitting, transferring, or discharging 95% of patients within 4 hours.
Hotelier Tony Burlingham has been ordered to pay £2,100 after refusing to properly help with a fire service probe into one of his premises. Burlingham of Langham Hall in Holt was found guilty at Norwich Magistrates Court on two counts of failing to comply with an investigation into Hill House Hotel in Dereham following an impromptu inspection of the building last year. The manager of the hotel, Damien Payne, was also fined but left the court during a break in proceedings and did not return. On the day in question, Brian Walsh, a Norfolk Fire and Rescue Community Fire Protection Manager, had been called to Hill House in response to a fire alarm sounding. Though it was a false alarm, Mr. Walsh found serious fire safety breaches, including mattresses and beds stored in escape routes and a fire door held open with a brass hook and catch. Another door, clearly marked as a fire exit, had been screwed shut. Records on fire extinguishers show they had not been checked since October 2014, but should have been checked annually. Payne, 39, of Church Road, Great Plumstead, was found guilty on three counts of failing to comply with the investigation and was ordered to pay a £1,500 fine, £150 victim surcharge and £900 in costs. Burlingham must pay £1,000 fine, £100 victim surcharge and £1,000 in costs.
When a Norfolk man was left with the 10-foot remains of an oak tree in his front garden, he was stumped to know what to do with it. But it did not take 57-year-old roofing contractor Neil Raffis long to come up with an idea, and he quickly set about putting his building skills to work. Now, the efforts of Mr. Raffis' labours have become an unexpectedly delightful new attraction in the village of Renningham, where he lives in Ashwellthorpe Road. With its pitch roof and miniature doors and windows, passers-by have been stopping to take photos of the fairy tale structure which has been christened Emily's House. Mr. Raffis dedicated it to little Emily Rush, who died of a rare type of kidney cancer called Wilms' tumour in December 2015. Mr. Raffis is a friend of Emily's parents, Mick and Julie Apicella, who live near Wisbeach. He said young visitors should search the tree for a sweet surprise. Mr. Raffis said, "I've hidden some lollies around the tree for children to find, and I've put up a collection box next to it for their parents if they want to make a donation." He said money donated would go towards East Anglia Children's Hospices each, which cared for Emily before she died, aged just 8.
That's all from James and me. Now it's over to Marnie Meakin and Richard Matthews for the next part of Chatterbox.